but I couldn't really get the title I wanted to kind of go with the message. I changed titles four or five times. I couldn't get settled. And I came back to this. Margie's actually opposed to this. You probably have heard this expression. But I inserted this as my title today. No God, no peace. No God, no peace. How true that is. When there's no God, we're serving no God, we're giving God no glory, we have no peace in our lives. But when we know God, when we're serving God, we can know peace, even in our storm. We know that we are not in a world of peace, and nothing is new this week that hasn't been around for 10,000 years. There have been wars, there have been riots, there has been hate, there has been prejudice since the beginning of time. Turn to Genesis and you'll see. We're not turning there this morning. I'm just saying. Turn to Genesis and you'll see. In the very beginning, brother rose against brother. Flesh and blood killed each other. And we have seen this pattern ever since the beginning of time. Because when there is no peace inside of us, there is no peace outside of us. And that peace only comes from God. Now, many of us have infuriating stances, and we have opinions, and we've seen so much unrest in our local area. We, you know, it's hit really home for us here today. We're used to seeing things like that in Los Angeles, New York City, Miami, Florida, wherever, where it's always far away. But to know this same unrestingness is now coming home. What is our role as Christians in all this? What do we do as people of God? What, you know, everybody wants to pick a side. It's not about picking a side. It's about having peace inside. And we have peace inside, church. We will love each other. We will reach out to each other. And we will recognize that there are problems on every front and on every side. Prejudice, hate goes far beyond black versus white or citizen versus policeman. We see throughout history how if anyone is different, there seems to be hate toward that. We see that with straights versus gay. We see that with every culture, every race, every tribe, every language. We see Democrats that if you're a Republican, they will not speak to you. Or if you're a Republican, they won't speak to a Democrat. We see in West Virginia, the McCoys and the Hatfields. Or Kentucky, wherever that's at. That's Kentucky, ain't it, Doc? Isn't that where James Lee's buried at? Yeah. James Lee's buried in the Hatfield Cemetery. We have seen this. We see it with Yankee and Southern. You remember the old Bugs Bunny cartoon, Yosemite Sam? I love Yosemite Sam. He had that hot temper, you know. He always cussed under his breath, you know. Teach our kids to cuss at an early age. He was really cussing what he's doing. Well, there's a Bugs Bunny where he was chasing the rabbit because the rabbit crossed the Mason-Dixon line. And Yosemite Sam went and had a sign that said Mason-Dixon line. He crossed it and says, "Oh, my gosh, my feet done touched Yankee soil." And he jumped back real quick like he'd been contaminated. I mean, even in sports it goes. There are Duke fans that absolutely hate Carolina fans. We see it across the board. It's nothing new. So what do we do in this turbulent world? We live in peace as Christians. We live in peace, church. Let's see what peace is. Go to the next slide, Jeremy. The definition of peace is freedom from disturbance, tranquility, quiet, freedom or sensation from war or violence. Most of us don't live this kind of life, a state of calm. You know, Facebook, I'm going to tell you something I was so disappointed as a human being in and as a Christian. Is the Facebook post I seen, it's different to share an opinion. It's different to say how you feel. But when I started seeing how people were tearing each other down, and the words they were using, and the language they were using, and saying this and this and this, this is not solving anything, church. Did Jesus ever go and talk the way we talk to each other? Never he did that. He always extended a hand of mercy and love. No, we're not trying to take our opinions. We all have a stance. And I have really, during this week, I told Melanie, I was watching the news, and I'm sitting back. And for the first time in my personal life, I'm truly trying to take myself out of what I've always believed in and see for the first time the objectivity of what's happening, of what's really happening. I was born a white man in the South. I was born to expect authority. I was born, raised to respect police officers, and that was my life. But that's not everybody's life. And so as I start looking at that, I start looking at so many people not raised with a father in the home. So many not raised with that respect for authority, for police officers. I was raised in a very white picket fence world, and I recognize that. I wasn't bullied at school. I wasn't made fun of at school. I wasn't called slang names at school, and I recognize that. And I've been sitting back, seeing what's happening with the anger and the frustration. And all of this is boiling and boiling, and everyone is so on board, just on their side. The one thing I love seeing, because we hear the media spin things in a way of hate, everything's wrong. But as I saw some of the marches in Charlotte, you know what I did see? I saw people holding hands, people praying for each other. Franklin Graham had people down there in Charlotte going around praying in groups with people, trying to show the love of Christ. That's what it's about. Church, there's always going to be a bad apple in every bucket. There's always bad seed. But don't let the bad seed override the good seed of the people that want things right and want peace and want things to go the right way and want things to be the way God wants them to be. So let's go to the first verse we're going to read about. This is Psalms 29:11. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Now, we're going to talk about peace today, of course. And what we're talking about is much deeper than just the peace we're talking about of marching the streets. I'm talking about a deep revelation, an inner spiritual peace that will make us view the world and each other in a different way than we did before. Because if we don't have peace of who we are in Christ, then we don't have peace at all. And that's what's wrong with our generation. It's what's wrong with our millennials and our young generation. They're trying to find peace. And the peace I'm talking about is not this. It's this. This is what brings peace. This means nothing if you don't have this inside. This, when we know that Jesus came to give us peace and to give us rest and to give us calm and to give us an inner feeling of everything, as Melanie said, is going to be all right because I know the peace speaker and I know what my future holds. And through all this turbulence, church, there have been wars from the very beginning. There has been bigotry and hatred from the very beginning. I mean, there are some churches that will not allow folks to come in with long hair or piercings or tattoos. They won't allow it. I mean, they simply won't allow it. That's being very closed-minded because they don't look like you. So we see a broad spectrum of how we treat people different. Now, I see this young generation, and I see people my generation, Generation X, these women coloring their hair pink and purple. That's your deal. Me and Mel talk about that. I'm not judging that. I'm not going to do it. How would I look coming here with green hair as your pastor? Y'all be like, oh, my gosh, what is wrong with him? But you know what? It's amazing how we look at something that simple, Anna. That simple. Somebody, a girl colors her hair green, and all of a sudden they're an outcast. And we snarl their nose. Ooh, your hair's green. At least they got hair. Church, if I had a head full of hair again, I'd have a rainbow. But I wouldn't be representing what that. I would just have a rainbow. I was like, you think your green hair is cool? I got green, pink, yellow, orange, all the way through, streaked like a skunk. I would be sport. Who knows what I would have? Bruce, I'd have my hair to the floor probably if I could. I'd be like ZZ Top. The beard here and the hair down there. And the shades on, because everybody loves a well-dressed man. Anyway, all I'm saying is we seem to box people out that don't look like us. based on how we live, based on what we do. There are some folks that if you're a successful businessman, you won't talk to a blue-collar worker because they're not like you. I have always, my whole life in school, I never belonged to a clique. And Bill will tell you that. I never really belonged to a clique. I just clicked with everybody. I could truly talk to everybody. I could talk to the redneck, North Idaho cowboy, belt buckle wearing, dip spitting cowboy. I could talk to them. See, in my day, young people, y'all don't have this no more because everybody's kind of, I don't know, the same, seems like. But in my generation, we had cliques. We had the preps who wore the polo shirts. And I did that a lot. We had the jocks who were the athletes, right? The football players, the jocks. We had the rednecks. We had what we called the rogues. Those are the ones that wore the black leather jackets and the zippers and smelled like cigarettes all the time. The rogues. We had those. Do what? Gene was a rogue. Okay. We had different cliques. We had the whites. We had the blacks. We had groups that clicked off. And everybody tried to be a part of that group. I wasn't like that. I simply talked to everybody. If they would listen to me, I talked to them. That's all that mattered to me. I could sit down and have, it didn't matter how they looked or how they dressed. Now, I didn't do things a lot of them did, but I could talk to them. And I could be their friend. And if a rogue came down and met the hall, it wasn't like I was like, you know, psh, psh. Man, bless their heart, who are you? No, I could talk to them because there was peace inside of me. See, church, when we have peace inside, guess what? We can live at peace with all people. We can live at peace with everybody. Go to the next scripture. Verse, this is Isaiah 48:22. There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. No peace for the wicked because they keep trying to live life apart from God. And when we live life apart from God, there is no peace. You may sit here and think, well, Pastor, I don't agree with this because I'm a Christian. I ain't got no peace. It's because you've not tapped into the peace God has for you. He has it. There's a reservoir of peace. The Bible says that he gives peace that passes out all understanding. He gives peace that goes beyond the prejudices and the storms and the battles and the giants. He gives peace above the disruptions and the distractions. He gives peace that we can look at each other and say, you know what? We truly are one people. We're one human race. Yes, we're different. Yes, cultures are different. But you know what? Cultures are supposed to be different. You ever went in the small world ride at Magic Kingdom? It's a small world after all. The whole time. You go through all these countries in that ride. You go through Norway and Sweden and Africa and Japan. You go through all, and all the cultures are different. And everyone has their things. I thank God that Mexican food came to America. That's all I'm saying. Give me some enchiladas every day of the week. Cultures are supposed to be different. But instead of being against those cultures, can we not appreciate those cultures? Appreciate them. There are beautiful things all over the world, beautiful things that each of us can offer that no one else can offer. It's a beautiful thing. Next verse. This is Isaiah 32:17. I love these two verses. The work of righteousness will be peace. The work of righteousness. We know the work of righteousness was Christ on the cross. The work of righteousness was Jesus shedding his blood. The work of righteousness is not placed upon us. It's not talking about how we do or what we live. It's talking about the work of righteousness, which was Christ dying on the cross to give us that righteousness. For him who knew no sin became sin that we could become the righteousness of God. And look at that effect of righteousness. Don't you love cause and effect, right? Cause and effect. If I drop this box, what's going to be the effect? Boom. If I'd have frozen midair, y'all been freaking out, wouldn't you? been like Joshua, stand still. The effect of righteousness is quietness and assurance forever. Think about that. The effect of the righteousness that Christ gave to us brings into our lives a quietness and an assurance forever. Through every riot, through every race war, through every political agenda, through every hate, through every whatever it is, we can remain quiet and assured that we love God, He loves us, we are in Him, and He is in us forever. That's what we get out of this. But you know what? We are so programmed. We've been so culturally programmed to just take a stance. Here's how we can be deprogrammed. Now, for most of you know, I do not like the Dallas Cowboys. Behind the New England Patriots, they are my second worst team. New England's number one, Dallas number two. But the new quarterback for Dallas, Prescott, surely almost won me over last Sunday. Not to the Cowboys, but to at least Prescott. Prescott's this rookie quarterback, 23, 24 years old. He lost his mother 3 years ago. She died. So now he's a starting quarterback in the NFL with the Dallas Cowboys. And before his first regular season game, you know what he did? He texted his mother's phone just to let her know, "Mom, I'm starting a game today. I hope you're proud of me." And he says before any major event, he still texts her just as a way for him to be able to vent to her. That was a, oh my gosh, don't let him be a Cowboy. Why can't it be a Panther? Oh gosh, it almost won me. You see, I can see a, is that bothering you? Can somebody say OCD? You know me, OCD. I'm like, anyway. Why couldn't it be? I was like, I don't like the Cowboys. I've never liked them. I liked them. I liked Tom Landry way back in the day. I'm telling my age there. But that almost, I'm like, oh. So you know what? Though I don't like the team, I actually like this kid now because I'm like, what a heart. See, when we can learn to look at things outside the box and admit that maybe our viewpoint isn't always right, then maybe we can have God speak to us and show us some truth. Manly sings that song every now and then, Secrets of My Heart. Lord, you know, reveal the secrets of my heart. We all have these secrets of our heart that we're programmed with, that we hang on to. I mean, man, we would absolutely hang on to some things to our grave. I'm not talking about the things we need to, the love of Jesus, the grace of Jesus, us believing He is Lord, all that. I'm talking about just the view of life. Since you've gotten older, I look at my parents. I'll use them for an example. My parents were the baby boomer generation. And I have seen, and I'm proud, this actually shocked me. My mom or dad one the other day actually told me, a few weeks ago, we were talking about politics, actually. And this is unreal, because I'm a generation behind them. And you know what they said? They said, I'm not sure, we're probably not, James, as conservative as you are. Now, they were back in the day. I couldn't do nothing. Talk about being conservative. So you know what's happened, though? It's not that they've changed their values, but they have evolved, and they see life at their age. They've grown in wisdom. A 20-year-old isn't going to see the world as a 60-year-old does. Man, at 20, oh my gosh. I mean, you got to understand, my parents' generation grew up in a totally segregated world. I don't know anything about that. Segregated. Never went to school with anybody other than white people. This wasn't that long ago, church, when you think about our nation. And so all of a sudden, they've seen a world that was segregated to now a world that is so different. And we got to make a choice. Do we see things as how they should be? Or does mom and dad hang on? I wish things were like they used to be. By God, back in the old days, it would be. My parents have never talked that way. They have often said how wrong that was in this nation. It's all about how we see the world. Do we see the world based on our little square, or do we see the world based on how Christ saw the world? Remember what Jesus did when he went to the woman at the well. He went to a Samaritan woman. Church, this is the same thing. She was an outcast to Jewish people. The Samaritans were considered unclean. And Jesus went to her, this unclean Samaritan woman, and he offered her the same thing he offered his Jewish people. There was no separation. There was nothing to say because you are Samaritan, because you are dirty, you are unclean, you are beneath us. The Jewish people truly felt that way. The Samaritans were a beneath them people. They were lower than they. And Jesus went to her and says, I'm giving you or offering you this living water. Do you want it? How could you? Jesus, and also understand the cultural barrier broke of him, a man, talking to a female. And also in that generation, still in Middle Eastern countries today, the female is treated like a dog in some nations. Very beneath the man status. Here's the King of Kings breaking the mold, going outside the borders, and seeing the world different than what the Jewish law taught. He saw grace belongs to everybody. Everybody, church. No matter, it belongs to everybody. Go to the next verse. Now here it gets good. This gets into Amanda Romans next, Jeremy. Yeah, go to the next one. Romans 3, chapter 10. Let's read this. Most of this is quoted from Old Testament scriptures, and this tells us why we have a problem in our world. Romans 3 tells us this, but it gives us a remedy as well of how to fix it. Romans 3:10. It is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they use deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That's the real problem. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Because when we have a fear of God, you know, I'll use Doc for an example because I know his heart. I'm not married to him, thank God, but I know his heart. And I know Doc can be opinionated. Is that right, Debbie? Very opinionated. He's set in his ways on some things. But one thing I know about Doc Lee is he is the first one I know would come to me and say, Pastor, I've been wrong about this thing. I prayed about it, and God has spoken to me and changed my mind. I'm wrong about it. See, when we allow, you know why? Because Doc has a fear of God. That fear doesn't mean, oh, God, don't strike me down. Not that kind of fear. The fear the Bible's talking about is that we have such a reverent submission that it's got to line up with God's word. It's got to say, God, what do you think about this? Lord, how do you feel about this? Lord, what do you say about this? Because that's really all that matters. I want to hear your voice through all the noise to give me what I need to hear. It's surrendering to the hand of God. That's what true fear of God is, that it becomes more important. And this is you know, with our society and culture changing, people are like, well, you know, you got to go with the times. And there's certain things and values that I absolutely refuse to endorse because I fear God too much. And if I have to offend people, I'd rather offend people than disobey God. And so there are things in my life that's where the fear of God comes. Lord, how do you feel about this? We know, church, no matter who believes it, how much it's done, and if you're here today and believe this yourself, it doesn't change the fact that a man does not belong with a man and a woman does not belong with a woman. The fear of God teaches me that. Our little pre-Ks know that. If you go down the hall today after service, they drew two big posters. So cute. I started putting it on Facebook, snap it and send it, and say, even our kids know this. It's a big old picture, and on the bottom, they wrote in crayon, God created man, and it's a picture of a man. Other side of the door is a big, it's a full, like, door-size picture of a woman. They wrote in crayon, God created woman. They know that. Woman. You know, Tarzan taught us that. Me Tarzan. You Jane. Me Tarzan. You Jane. I mean, this caveman knew that. If there's any caveman here, don't get politically upset. Be proud. Embrace your caveness. Embrace it. Be proud of it. You got a heritage. Ooh, oonga, oonga. You got a heritage. Lord. But our kids know this. And so there's things, this is what fearing God means. It means we don't compromise when it goes against God. And we have a generation that doesn't fear God. They want everything that they feel to do to be able to do it. People want to pick and choose which laws and rules they follow and which they don't. Which parts of God's word they follow and which parts they don't. We can't live that way. Now we know that whatsoever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, that all the world may become guilty before God. What Paul is saying here is the law lets us know we're all guilty. See, the purpose of the law was never to save mankind. The purpose of the law was to lead mankind to realize they needed to be saved. That there was no other way. They couldn't keep the law. I mean, think about it. Your parents give you all these rules. You couldn't keep half of them. We couldn't. Yeah, you know, I'm sorry, Alex. Hope she's straightened out by now. You know, all these rules. And they disobey. The law is there to remind us we are all guilty before God because not one single human being has ever kept the law. As much as King David loved the Lord, as much as King David was God's man, the Bible says, boy, he broke all kinds of laws. Adultery and covetousness and deceit and lying and murder. And I mean, man, he was a big lawbreaker. I mean, he being the big part of the bad line. I mean, he was bad. But yet he was God's. The law was never to save us. The law was to remind us we needed to be saved. Next scripture. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God apart from the law, the righteousness of God apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. The grace Jesus offers, the peace that he offers, is to all men. It's not to certain men. I mean, church, we try to compare. Let me just get real this morning because we're in a real crisis. We need some real voices to tell the truth. Each one has your thing. Each group has their pity. But let's go through time a little bit. In Ireland, the white man was enslaved and tortured and murdered for many years in the 1600s. Then, of course, we know about the black man being in slavery. Hispanics have had all kinds of problems in their culture and their history. The Native American Indians, their land was pretty much consumed, and they were put in small villages and pretty much put out to pasture. They lost the world. You watch them cowboy movies, and this was real, I'm sure, when an Indian would come into town, how they would call them savages, Injuns, all them slang names they would use. They were people just as much. Church, because we don't understand someone doesn't mean we don't love them. There's a big difference. You look at the Hebrew children. They were slaves for 400 years under Egyptian rule. Throughout history, throughout every land, there has been times of bondage, injustice through every land. Even today, that's still happening all over the world. We know that. It's always been. So instead of us trying to say, well, you know, you did this to my people. Well, you did this to my people. Well, you did this to my people. We all did everything to everybody's people. That's all there is to it. We did. You know why? Because there ain't none of us no good. But then Jesus came. Hallelujah. Jesus came. And he gave us something that we didn't have before. He gave us peace and grace and mercy and forgiveness and love that goes beyond the color of the skin or the language of a tribe. Goes way beyond that. I mean, there is nothing more powerful than seeing unity with all people for the same cause. And we have to be careful the enemy doesn't keep sowing discourse and hate. Yes, I'm going to be honest with you. There are mistakes on every side. And there are problems on every side. And when a man gets shot that's carrying a gun and says, drop it and don't, that's wrong. When a man gets shot, doesn't have a gun and get killed, and there's no threat, that's wrong too. We have to learn to look at things as how they are, not as how we want to make them. Look at the truth, and that's what's so hard to see the truth, because we want to immediately go to what we're comfortable with instead of really saying, what's the truth? What's reality? Am I being told this and programmed, or is it happening the way I'm seeing it, or is there a deeper thing? There's problems and there's prejudices on every side all over the world. It just doesn't. You know, we get fixed on our way instead of seeing it God's way. Now, I'm glad y'all are quiet, and I'm glad it's making you uncomfortable, because, church, this is truth. It's truth, whether we want to hear it or not. I'm not promoting a side. I'm promoting the peace of God. And there, like I said, are problems, and there are failures, and there are, and I'm the first, I will tell you this, I'm the first one that if a police officer murders a citizen unduly, that they should be in trouble for that. Absolutely. Taking a life unjustified, they should be in trouble for that. But at the same time, I'm totally for obeying the law and not breaking it. Just not breaking it. And I love this young generation especially, man. They don't think there should be no law. Shouldn't be no law. Be able to do what I want. It's stupid they pass this law. Stupid. Look, I know we got laws we don't agree with. I understand it. But the point is, if you break it, you got to pay the price. Just how it is. I got a seatbelt ticket years ago going near the mall. I had my dad's truck. I'd stopped to get and got back in it. Forgot to put my seatbelt on. Got pulled over. I didn't rant and yell. I didn't start yelling unjustified. You know what the problem was? I didn't have a seat belt on. And I got a $150 ticket for it. I didn't call the cops no names out loud. I'm playing. I didn't call the cops no name. I didn't like it. And here's my viewpoint. I think it's way, like Melly, of course, Melly wasn't no help. I get pulled over, the cop comes to the car and a seatbelt. You know what Melly does, Bruce? I told him to put a seatbelt on. I told him he put that seatbelt on. I kept telling him. My God, woman. Whose side you on? Shit, the law. Yeah. Every speeding ticket I've got, guess what? I was speeding. I don't always agree with it. I'll be like, man, that joker in front of me, you didn't see him going in and out of the interstate 90 miles an hour, and you got me for going 12 miles over, driving straight and normal. I'm the one that got caught. But I can't blame them. I broke the law. So I'm a firm believer that we do what's right, and normally things go pretty right. Not always. And when things don't always go right, we still stay right. And let the justice of God have its way. Next verse. For all have sinned. Doc, you've sinned, brother. And fall short of the glory of God. All of us have sinned. All of us have fell short. So what's the remedy? 24 tells us. We have been justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for that? God rescued you when you couldn't rescue yourself. We're not justified by our holy ways. We're not justified because we come to church in a three-piece suit with no tattoos and our hair cut just right. We're not justified because we don't drink or smoke or swear. We're not justified because we don't watch, you know, the right movies or because we fast or pray or give our tithes. None of that justifies us. None of it. The only thing that makes us right standing with God Almighty is the grace and redemptive work that Jesus did at the cross. And that set us free, church. And that peace changes us. It's that peace that we need. The world is restless because they don't have this peace of Jesus inside their hearts to say, it's going to be okay. You're mine. I'm going to take care of you. The reason we can have an eternal assurance of peace is because that peace lives in us. It's not something we just talk about, something we just know about. It's something that lives inside of us. That in the middle of the storm, as Melanie said, in that low part of her life, when she needed that peace so strong, it wasn't something she just read about or heard about that came to her head, but it became a living, active force in her life that lifted her above the ashes and able to see some beauty still. That's what peace does. It lets us see beauty. And so as I was watching the Charlotte protest this week, I was seeing people, and I'm definitely not for any kind of rioting as far as breaking things and stealing and looting. Somebody was trying to make their point about how the white person in the 1700s, the Tea Party, wrecked ships and did all that. And I put a comment, it's not right, whatever race you are, to break things and steal things. That's not right, period, no matter who you are. I don't support that at all. That is absolutely gains nothing and is totally wrong. But when I saw the Charlotte crowd and I saw many, many whites down there, if you watch the news, there were many, many white people, different races, different cultures, and they're holding hands, they're talking to each other. Now, I know we got to look hard sometimes to the beauty in things. But what I saw was people of different walks coming together for a cause. Whether that cause is justified in this case specifically of what they're trying to do, we don't know. But the cause was, look, let's love each other. Let's love each other and let's come together. The old song, right? Come together right now over me. If we could come together, church, I mean, we all have, if you're married, my God, how hard is that? What I mean by that is me and Melanie, I didn't mean it the way it sounded. What I mean, if you're married, period, anybody, you're living with someone who sometimes has a lot different viewpoints than you do. Got a man in the corner. They're not even sitting together. See what I mean? Don's with Bobby. When you live with someone, me and Mel don't see eye to eye. There's times we argue to the point we want to spit nails at each other. But you know what? We have to learn, hey, you see your way, I see my way. Don't we can't live together. I love you and you love me. We're not going to always see eye to eye. So when you start mixing different cultures in and different ways people were raised, different backgrounds, that all comes together. We got to be mindful that what the mission is. The mission is not to tear each other down. The mission is to give away the same peace to them that God gave to us. We are to be ministers of peace. Go to the next scripture. 2 Corinthians 13:11 tells us this. Finally, brethren, farewell. Farewell. So long to you and you and you. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Look what Paul is saying. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. We are to live, the Bible says, to live at peace with all men if possible. Now I realize it's not always possible. But how easy do we give up? Or how hard do we fight to keep that peace? Peace is something that we as Christians should be sharing with others. Next scripture. This is the last one, I believe. I got two more. Look what Jesus said in John 14:27. This is Jesus' words. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The reason we don't have to be afraid, like Melanie said, of ISIS or anything else, is because Jesus has given us this peace. It's going to be okay. Church, there is no greater gift I can think of than peace. Think about your life. The most troubled times you've had has been because of a lack of peace. You don't have peace in your home. You don't have peace with your kids. You don't have peace in your marriage. You don't have peace about your money. You don't have peace about your health. It all goes back to peace. Do I have peace? Do I have peace on my job? Do I have peace in life? Do I have peace about the future? Do I have peace about my past? Do I have peace about where I am today? It all goes back to peace. Without peace, we don't want to live. There's no hope to get up in the morning. There's no joy of living if we have lost peace. There's going to always be trouble. There's going to always be violence. There's going to always be hate. There's going to always be prejudice. There's going to always be all this opinionated political garbage that's always spinning out there. What we must do as Christians is to remember this verse. Jesus gave me peace. I'm going to stay in that peace. I'm going to stay. I'm not going to let that peace be robbed of me. I'm not going to let the devil take away that peace that God gave me. That peace is for me to hang on to forever. Then he says one more verse here in John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Church, we win in the end. And the kingdom of God is going to be a makeup of all kinds of saints from all over the world. It'll be a true We Are the World video, but it'll be an eternal one. And we're going to be worshiping together and praising our King together, lifting Him up together. I've got a friend of mine, an evangelist. He's over in Thailand right now ministering. He showed a little clip video over in Thailand. And it's a little small church over there, probably 30, 40 people look like in the video. And these are people from Thailand. And they're singing Christian songs, and they're raising their hands, and they're worshiping Jesus in Thailand. In Thailand, they're worshiping the same Jesus we are. Just because we don't understand someone doesn't mean we can't love them. We can't love them. I told you about I went to speak at Clark's Chapel Church. It's a black church. I mean, predominantly black. And I went to speak, and I was the only white person there. They asked me to come speak at their youth meeting. And at first, my first instinct was, which I've preached in black church before, that wasn't the issue, but my first instinct was, I just don't think. He asked me, I said, But then something hit my spirit. I'm like, yeah, they're asking me. That's really an honor and a privilege. And maybe God's got a plan there. So I didn't know anybody at that church but one person. I barely knew him. So I didn't know nobody at this church. And I remember, I think I told you this. If you wouldn't hear that Sunday, I told you I want to share it again. I walked into church. It went on for several hours. I didn't stay for the whole thing. They had like an all-day event going on. But I went and sat down toward the back. I'm sitting there and, you know, looking around. I didn't know anybody. Well, I didn't know Ruby a little bit, more Shirley. Ruby a little bit. And she come and spoke to me. And I'm sitting there, and the guy on the keyboard, organ, actually. He was jamming that organ, brother. I had one of them big organ. He's up there, and he said, he's a pastor, another church. He's at my church. We have a time we go pray for someone. Just go grab someone, just pray for them right there. So I want y'all to go pray for someone. Well, you know, I'm sitting there. I don't know anybody. And I have to admit, I'm a little bit awkward. I'm normally not an awkward person, but I didn't know anybody there. And I'm like, well, I'm just going to sit here and, you know, I don't want to go to somebody who don't know me. And see, we're so programmed, see. We're so programmed. Here's what I'm thinking. Well, you know, what if I go up to somebody and they're like, what is this white boy up here doing praying for me? I'm sitting there thinking that. So I'm just sitting there. I'm like, well, I'll just sit here. This young 16-year-old black man come to me and said, I'd like to pray for you. Took my hands, prayed with me. So then when I got up to speak toward the end, I called all the young people up there, said a prayer over their lives, and then I called him up specifically and told the church what he did. And I seen the guy that invited me to church. I seen him at Food Line. I was picking up something on Mountain Road, and he come in, and he came out the door. We hugged each other and stuff, you know, and his wife was there and kid. And he goes, man, James, he said, man, they still talking about you. I'm sure they would. The only white person there. They sure talking about you. he said, man, they said, you got to get him back, man. Get him back. You got to get him back to come preach. And, you know, I had that opportunity, and I can honestly say I know cultures are different, and that's okay. But what I was talking about that Saturday was the same thing they were talking about. and that was Jesus. And that's all that mattered. And we all know Jesus. And we can all praise him. And we can all talk about him. And so I'm so glad I took the opportunity, because I hope it'll open another door. I would love to go back and do a message. I think it would be wonderful. And but when we get outside of our box, see, we're able to do things we wouldn't do if we stay inside of it. Peace is what the world needs. And peace only comes through Christ. Only way it comes. So as Christians, my charge to this church is that we truly pray that the peace that we have and we have found in Christ, that we can help give that to someone else. Brother and sister, that'd be a good one. Play a little bit of that. Church, this morning's message is all about knowing peace. This is not a political stump. It is not trying to make a self-positioning statement. I'm simply talking about the problem we're seeing is there's a restlessness because there's no peace inside of people's hearts. And when there's peace inside of us, then that peace begins to shine out. Have you seen the video on YouTube with a young guy going around giving out free hugs? Isn't that neat? Goes up to officers and gives them free hugs. Young black guy goes up and just says, I want to hug you. Just want to give you a hug. I think that's awesome. Y'all stand your feet a minute, would you? Join hands somebody beside you. Sing this song, Marjorie. Y'all know this song. If you don't, you'll know it. Hang on a minute. I feel led to do something. Let's gather around the church in a circle. Let's do that. Y'all gather around. See if we can make a whole circle around the edge of the church. Go ahead. Church, how we all look different. You got Ed back there, that big old deer beard going on. Look at him. Love Ed. Got a wonderful heart. You know nothing about him, but look at that beard. Get to know him. You'll find a wonderful human being. Incredible. Look at our young people. Look at different color hair. Red hair, gray hair, no hair. We have in this church African American. We have Hispanic in this church. We have young and we have old. We have veterans and we have non-veterans. We have police officers and retired police officers in this place. Each one of us are different in our own way. It's okay. Thank God we are. The world couldn't stand 7 billion James Lewis's. Couldn't take it. Me and Bill are totally... Growing up, almost were totally opposite in a lot of ways. We both were Christians, but our personalities were so different. Back then, not that Bill didn't want to. Back then, if a girl looked at Bill, girl looked at me, I'm like, yeah, you need some? Totally different. But we were best friends. It worked. It's amazing how different we all are. Some of you are in dresses today. Some of you are in jeans today. Michael's in shorts today. He's an outcast. Oh, my God. All of us. Some of you have tattoos. Maybe they're hidden. You don't want anybody to know about it. But you got them. Some of you wear them openly. That's okay. Some of you have piercings in places we don't want announced in church. That's your deal. It's fine. Doesn't change anything. Doesn't change the love. Each one of us. We have Bobby back there who's holding Don's hand. Bobby is from Colombia, South America. Colombia, South America. And here he is in this congregation, worshiping the same Jesus, with this family. That is awesome. Yes, he is. Holding two Stiller hands. Yes, he is. He is being prayed for right now and converted. So, church, the hand you're holding, we're all God's people. And we all are loved in his sight. We have different generations. My grandmother right there has no clue what Chloe and Zoe's generation is all about. Don't have a clue. She don't want to know. But all she sees, when she sees those two young girls, is two young girls. Right, Grandma? You see two young people back there that need the same love of Jesus that Grandma got when she was a little girl. Sing it again, Marjorie. Y'all sing us together. My sister. Understanding and compassion and mercy, that we're not so quick to judge or pick a side, but we just want to share you, that God, you can change the heart of man like you changed ours. Let us be that light and that witness as we go out of this place today. Let us be used by you to show forth the fruits of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Y'all can hug each other before you sit down. Usher, stay up here.